Okej, då är vi igång med ett nytt avsnitt. Patrik har vi med i vanlig ordning, men vi har också med en riktigt fin gäst idag. Patrik, vill du berätta vem det är kanske?
Ja, jag ska strax berätta vem det är. Det är ju faktiskt en gäst som vi har sett fram emot att ha med i podden och som vi vet också har sett fram emot att vara med i en härlig tennisdiskussion i en halvtimme. En utav, jag vet som kan tennis så bra och som är så intresserad. Så det ska bli jättekul att ha med honom. Han får presentera sig själv. Får vi se om fansen
king.
Känner igen honom. En riktig king faktiskt. Välkommen!
Tack.
Nu
Tack.
Får du presentera dig.
Yeah. And the presentation will be in English, I think. It's best for the, maybe for the Swedish listener. But it is Rune Thompson from Denmark.
Yeah.
A real legend.
Yeah, big legend, I would say.
And I can tell you a little funny story that before when I was traveling, everybody was struggling with saying my first name because it's not so easy to say if you're not from Scandinavia. But now after Holger made his appearance, it's so simple. So now I just go to people and say, my first name is the same as Holger's last name. And then they know.
It's easy.
But what's the correct pronunciation in English? Is it Rune or Rune or what's the one?
I think both is fine. Both is fine. Right. And then normally when I say that we share the name, I always also add that Holger is named after me, of course.
Of course. Ja, Rune Thompson som har varit en stor stjärna i en annan podd som fanns tidigare om skandinavisk tennis.
Avgjord. Så nu prövar vi att spread out the words here.
Det finns väl kvar, eller? Det är väl inte helt nere?
Nej.
Jag tror att det är att formatet omkring Scandinavian Tennis Pod vill kanske inte fortsätta i samma upplägg.
Det låter bra. Jag måste fråga. Jag tror nog att de flesta har koll på vem du coachar, men du kan berätta lite om din spelare Erik van Schielbom. Är det rätt uttal eller jag vet inte om jag går bort mig helt där.
This is also a little bit funny, Alex, because so many times when he's playing a match, the umpire is struggling so much with his last name. And actually, it's very simple. I'm not very good at names, but at least this one I can pronounce. It's straight out of the line. It's Van Schielbom.
Van Schielbom.
I'm
struggling with that.
Van Schielbom. Exactly. Yeah. But I think that during the years on the tour, I think he has changed last name at least out of pronunciation 10 or 15 times.
How long have you two guys worked together?
Too long.
Yeah, but now actually you're doing really good.
I hope that we have done good all the time, but I mean on results and ranking, yes, it's true.
That's because you are such a great scheduler.
Maybe, or maybe it's just now all the hard work pays off. You never know.
I would say that he's a mix of the former grinder and our favorite in the pod, Niklas Johansson. I don't know if you remember that guy. He was a very tall guy.
I met him one time in Kampala, in Uganda.
Yeah, because he traveled to like obscure places. I'm not saying that you guys always do that, but you find those tournaments that you really do well in.
Absolute. Niklas was there with his father actually back then. And I remember it's very clear he was supposed to play first round and it's back in 2018 or 2019. And then somehow he slips in the shower and cuts his arm to the mirror. So he has like a big scar, so he cannot play.
Jesus. I should laugh, but that's hilarious. God damn.
Yeah, you're good at funny stories, Rune.
I mean, sometimes I'm just at the right place for the right time. Maybe that's why.
Yeah. But you weren't in Beddinge this weekend, though.
Oh, no. I missed you.
I missed you, too. But I heard that the live stream was extraordinarily well done.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Who told you that?
Thomas Alm.
Ah, another legend.
Yeah, it was great commentary.
Was a nice tournament.
No, Alex,
Yeah.
hur
Vi tar det på
sammanfattar du
svenska då
tävlingen?
kanske.
Det
Vad sa du?
precis, den kan vi prata svenska om.
Ja.
Det är ju tredje året som vi är där nu och det är tredje året som Beddingen gör sin tävling till en supersommartourtävling vad gäller stream, kommentering,
Ja.
näringslivet bjuds in, sponsorer, man gör ett litet event av det. Det var 100-150 pers i publiken. En helt annan känsla mot hur tidigare sommartourer har varit.
Ja, men det här är den enda sommartourtävlingen som har stream, som har hela paketet som du säger. Jag tycker det är faktiskt ganska dåligt att inte fler sommartourtävlingar har en sån stream. Och då är det inte liksom bara en kamera och så är det ingen kommentator, utan det är tre, fyra kameror, det är ett tv-team på plats och man gör det väldigt seriöst. Och det är liksom helt fair play och Beddinges initiativ. Och det vore kul med fler sådana här tävlingar. Jag har sett, Rune, att man i Danmark streamar alla sina SM-tävlingar, va?
Yeah, as there's always one match every round in the league there is on TV.
Oh, that's
Because
great.
it's so
But
easy to just put a camera on
yeah.
and stream all the events that are in Sweden on the summer tour, I guess.
I agree. I
Alla
agree.
behöver inte göra värsta eventet om man inte
Nej.
vill göra det på det här sättet, utan det här är ju visar ju vilka ambitioner Fair Play och Beddinge har att vilja ta ett steg framåt och göra något bra av sin tävling. Och där är de ett fantastiskt föredöme för andra svenska klubbar och arrangörer av sommartourtävlingar,
But then it
skulle jag
was
säga.
also a little bit weird that when they had the futures in Kalmar and Värnamo that there was streaming, but you had to pay for it. It made no sense, I feel.
Yeah,
that's nuts. I think maybe maximum of 40 people paid for that stream, and it was the players' parents, I think.
Yeah, because other ITFs that are streamed through the ITF website, they are for free.
Exactly.
So I don't
That's
know
crazy.
why they did it like that. If the purpose is to make like tennis more, like I wouldn't say global, but more try to spread tennis more
Public.
in Sweden, then it's so easy to just have a free live stream. I mean, you have free live stream even on the Challenger Tour on the ATP website. So, yeah, we've criticized that as well a couple of weeks ago when that was. Ja, Alex, vad tar du med dig mer från Beddinge?
Bra matcher, det var tufft med vinden, tufft med vädret, med regnet som kom, med alla regnavbrott. Men trots det så tyckte jag det var bra nivå i båda finalerna. Kabayevad, Radenkovic och sen Conor van Schalkwyk där mot Sabah, Nanobashvili. Så jag tyckte det var bra nivå på tennisen. Bra matcher och det gick rätt fort alltså.
Ja, men
Så,
damfinalen tycker jag var riktigt bra, alltså drömfinal där med Jackie och Maja, två spelare som är ute och tävlar mycket, som man verkligen unnar de här prispengarna som kommer hjälpa dem mer ut på ITF-touren. Jag skulle väl säga att Jacqueline Kabayevad och Maja Radenkovic är väl bland de två som tävlar mest av de svenska spelarna ute, Grindr Futures,
ja,
helt klart.
så är det. Tror du
Så
det? Jag
egentligen
glömde en
så,
fråga där.
why
Är du
did
nu?
Oliver Lien pull out? He signed. You could
Yeah,
see it on the software. He was signed, but he was not in the draw.
he was first seed as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't really know why he pulled out.
Nej, vi vet inte det. Grejen var att det var han. Jag vet inte om han skulle spela någon future veckan innan också som han drog sig ur, har jag för mig. Och var det någonstans? Var den i Sverige eller? Jag kommer inte ihåg, men det var någon han var anmäld till, så jag vet inte om han är skadad. Vi får ta reda på det
Ja.
till nästa avsnitt. Så, but yeah, Rune, as you, lite, Rune är inne på det, att startfältet på här sidan var ju lite sämre än vad man kanske kanske skulle kunna förvänta sig. Det är ju en pärla där, Beddinge. Det är väldigt fint, men det kanske är långt för många att åka. Men annars så är det ju, med tanke på att Beddinge och Fairplay satsar så kanske man hade hoppats på lite fler spelare. Jag tycker på damsidan så var det betydligt bättre startfält.
Yeah, and there could have been also Danish players. It's very close to the bridge, so I mean there could have been, and
Yeah, actually,
there.
it's closer for the Danish players than for many Swedish players, because this is a 7-hour drive from
Exactly.
Stockholm. Maybe 6 for me, but 7 for a normal driver.
Yes.
7.5 for Alex.
I hope we see you guys there next year,
For
Rune.
sure, for sure.
What is Eric's ranking now? No.
420.
Yeah, so he's like between the future and the challengers now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But summer it's easier because more tournaments in Europe, so
Ah.
the cuts are lower for or higher, you can say, for the challengers.
Yeah, he can basically play every challenger now. The
Yes.
qualification
So I
in
actually started
every.
not to sign him for qualis in challengers because then you're locked and then you cannot make your schedule so fixed. So actually, I stopped signing him for qualis challenger. And then if we
Ah.
want to go as challenger, you just sign as alternate and you get in.
I
I heard
heard
you guys
yeah, with his
had
ranking.
a like a unbelievable trip to was it Spain when you guys flew from which country was it? Now I'm forgetting. Because he only played doubles that particular week in Challengers. I
No.
know we talked about this.
Indian,
Yeah,
eller?
that was last year with
Last year,
Philip.
yeah.
Yes, that
Tell
was
us
last
about
year
that trip. I heard many things about it.
from Sri Lanka and all the way to Frankfurt and then from train to Czech in the Liberec, coming late at night, having anti-climate to the time zone and then playing next day doubles with Philip. But Philip played unbelievable, so they actually beat it one guy in top 100
Oh, wow.
and one 220. So it was actually a good win, but it was more Philip's effort than Eric's because I think he was still a bit tired.
Did they make the semis or the quarterfinal in that?
The quarters, they lost
Yeah.
to seeded two the day after, but they had set points, two set points in the second
Yeah.
set.
What do you
So,
think of Philip's year so far?
yeah, as I said to him, it's very tough in doubles because you can have many close losses like five, six, seven in a row, and then suddenly, boom, you are in the
Yeah.
semi or in the final. So I think it's mentally tougher to be a double player, but also mentally less tough because the pressure is not only on you, so you don't stress so much as a single player, even that you're losing a couple of rounds and a couple of times in a row, you still feel you can do better, and that's also what happened. I mean, he had a good run in Turkey where he won, and then afterwards it was a little bit less good, and then now he had some opportunities. So I'm sure that the summer will be fine, and I think he will close the 160 mark before the year's over.
Yeah, hopefully his body will get better as well.
But I think what he needs to do is to find a fixed partner. He
Yeah,
spends
yeah.
too much time not but changing partners, but also not committing. I think he should find someone, maybe 120, 140, and go full with him for at least 3 months and see how it can be. Because then also you can work on your game, and it's not a new partner every week where you have to like adapt in the first match or the first set maybe. So I told him that, and I think that he's working on that, and I think he soon will go with a fixed one. That's at least what I heard.
Yeah, but how
Yeah.
difficult is it to find a regular partner?
Yeah, it's
Everyone in tennis like has different goals.
Yes, and everybody thinks they are a little bit better than they actually
Yeah.
are. So
Yeah,
I think that's the
that's
most
classic.
difficult thing. But yeah, it's not easy, and I know that's also why I think it's a lot of hustle to be a doubles player only. First of all, you get always the less amount of hours on the court. You have sometimes to stay on a different official hotel, and you are just lowest in the food chain. And then you also every Monday have the hustle to find a partner where you combined is enough to get into the first list. So it's not easy.
It's very tough. I heard from many doubles players that they can easily stab you in the back and change partners
Yes,
from 1 week to another.
that is, yeah. I mean, I also talked to Ulrike Eigeri about this, and she has never had a fixed partner in her whole career, and she still made it to top 50. So it is possible, but it's a lot of grind and hustle.
Ja, intressant det här. Ha, ska vi lämna Beddinge här eller?
Ja, det tycker jag. Vi,
det här var lite sidospår.
Ja, ett fint sidospår. Ett fint sidospår. Och
Filip som faktiskt har kopplingar till Beddinge via Fairplay.
Det var så
vi kom in på det.
Yes, cirkeln slut. Men vi går över till Wimbledon då, till gräset. Och självklart måste vi prata om Zlatan av tennisen i Norden. Big Mike. Hur stor är Big Mike i Danmark, Rune?
Not so big.
Not so big.
Not, I mean, when he came up, I think it was in 2016-17, after he had injury and he made it very fast up to 120, people will start noticing him. But now, when he's been like from 90 and a little bit above, it hasn't been so much. Mainly when he was working with Fredrik Nielsen a little bit more.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
now again, of course, after his comment on Bostel, it's in the media. But not for results. Not so much.
Only for quotes.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a quote machine, but he was more humble maybe a couple of years ago, I would say.
Could be. Could be.
Sure. But he played really well today. And I think that, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think that always after a scandal, or how do you want to say it, that Mikael always plays well. He did it last year after those Zlatan comments. He made, was it quarterfinals in Washington? He did really well.
And semi, actually.
Semi, actually. Yeah, sorry, semi.
Yeah.
And I think he looked really good today against Molkan. So,
but we also have to say that Molkan hasn't played on grass for a year.
Ah. Okay.
Yeah, that's true. Mike has actually had three tournaments on grass before
exactly.
Before
exactly.
Wimbledon. So
true, true.
So a very good, good tournaments before, or many tournaments. No, maybe not that good, but the latest was actually 1-2 matches in Eastbourne. But yeah, so next match is it's against Taylor Fritz or Jannik Hanfman, and actually it's Hanfman. Does he have 2-1 now against Fritz? Do we have that? Because that match is actually going on right now while we are recording this.
Yes.
Is it 2-1?
2-1 in set and 2-1 in on serve. In the
Amos. Yeah, because we want Big Mike to win that match, because that will mean that we will interview Big Mike in Wimbledon, because we travel to Wimbledon on Thursday, and he needs a third round.
Amazing. Of course. That will be, super. Super.
Yeah, I hope Patrick will have a nicer interview with Mikael, because the latest one in Stockholm was not pretty.
The 10 latest ones, you mean?
I don't know if you have seen the interview from Stockholm Open with Mikael Lyman and Patrick Rune.
No, I haven't. I should go in.
You need to
and,
see
and
it.
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, do not do it.
It was not the best chemistry.
No. Who is he traveling with for Wimbledon?
Never
you know?
Is. Huh?
Who is he having with him for Wimbledon?
I think I'm not completely sure, but I'm pretty sure he's there with his physio. But
still, okay, yes.
Yeah, but not, I don't know if he has a tennis coach on site.
No, no. No, okay. But the physio is also British, I think, right?
Yeah, he's really good. He's really good.
Yeah.
But what do you think about the thing with the coaching, Rune, that he hasn't had a stable coach on tour for many years now, Mikael?
I think it's of course up to himself, but I think that if he's not opening and he thinks that a coach will interfere and annoy him more than help him, then I think there's no reason. It's the same with Kyrgios. These very strong characters, maybe they know themselves best, and then it's fine without a coach. They save some money and they have less arguments with other people. So I think if that works, it's fine. It's not like someone, in the other hand, the guy is turning 25 this year, can change his personality overnight. So it will have to be a long-term work if it has to have a positive outcome in the end.
Ja, mycket bra teori av Rune
Mycket
Thomsen här
bra,
tycker jag
mycket bra.
faktiskt. Mycket riktig jävla king.
Jag
Vad har
hör
vi
att
haft
du
mer?
måste...
Dragos vann ju en match på gräset. Det var ju fantastiskt. Och Rune och Alex, han pressade Michael Moe till 6-4 avgörande set. Och Michael Moe har precis slagit Ogier Aliassime.
Exakt.
Så Dragos hade
kanske
kunnat vara där.
Gräsking hade lite otur med lottningen bara.
Yeah, but I think that I talked to Dragos both before and during, and I think that he just went there. He had no preparation. He went there mainly to collect the money, of course, and to get the experience. So for him to win a round is amazing. And then also to play, take a set from Michael. He said that he served very well, and it was, small margin as it is on grass, where it's maybe 1 or 2 points that gives a break and gives the momentum.
Yeah. Ja, med facit i hand så måste vi ändå ge Dragos så mycket beröm som har haft tålamod och spelat de här 15K-tävlingarna ända tills hans ranking är så här bra och inte hetsat med att spela Challenger, som är naturliga är att så fort man kanske får möjlighet att spela Challenger så gör man det. Men han har gått sin egna väg.
Ja, jag har läst lite och på olika forum pratat med folk som säger att men Dragos, han vinner bara där i Turkiet. Det är lätt att göra, men då tänker jag, varför är det ingen annan som gör det om det är nu så jäkla lätt?
Precis.
And now he
det
also
inte
won
lätt.
On Swedish mark, and he won in Balkan also last year in semi in Banja Luka. So it's bullshit. It's bullshit.
Yeah, of course.
What people are saying, because this guy can play. He plays, of course, better with a ball change that is 11-13, that is 7-9, and of course he plays better on slow conditions than he does on fast conditions. But again, every player themselves have to maximize and make what fits for them. So I think that.
Of course,
Dragos is probably just maybe smarter than the average pro player.
That's a good headline. Bullshit. That's what this episode is gonna be called.
Yeah, but it's such a shame that he didn't get the wild card to the Swedish Open in Båstad. With his success this year, and he's shown.
Yeah, we can talk about that. I think. Yeah, I mean, giving Luca Pui a wild card into the main draw. That's just nuts. I think.
Yeah, that's we can have another episode just to speak about the Båstad. Yeah, we can actually have an episode
next week
about Båstad and just run through the field and talk more about it when we approach that week.
Then I come back, Alex and Patrick, for that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Save your quotes, Rune. Save your quotes.
Yeah, of course.
Save your quotes. Yeah, let's talk about the other Nordic players in Wimbledon. How is it going for Emil Ruusuvuori now, Patrick? Because he's playing now, right?
Yeah, he's playing now, and I guess Mr. Rune Thomsen has the latest score in that match.
Yeah, he's down two sets to zero against Wawrinka. 5-7, 5-7.
Wawrinka som faktiskt är ute efter en Grand Slam. Det är bara Wimbledon som saknas för honom.
Mm, det kommer inte hända, men det är bra att han försöker.
Egentligen, han borde redan i april bara spela på gräs fram tills nu. Ivan Lendl gjorde det så på sin tid att han hoppade över grussäsongen bara för att han ville vinna Wimbledon. Han lyckades ändå inte med.
Nej.
Så att ja, vad har vi mer?
We can talk a little bit about the style, because what I noticed, especially from Queens where I watched a bit last week, is that when I was a kid, the places on the grass where it was like brown, you can say, or there was no grass, it was from the baseline and up to the net in the middle, more or less.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Nowadays, it's from the baseline and 5 meters behind where it's green. So that just shows how much tennis has changed over the last 20 years or 15 years, that the grass courts, all the players, of course, they still need to move and the bounces are still low, but now they're playing much more behind the baseline than before. It's very interesting to see.
Yeah, but they change it and they've made everything so much slower than before. And I mean, they sometimes take away the charm with the sport by making all the surfaces too similar to each other, I would say.
It's true. Yeah, because now you will never have a guy like Alexander Popp or Vladimir Volchkov or what else the other names are, where they like made it from quali to semi or final in Wimbledon, because now everybody is playing similar style, so the most solid guy will still win on grass. Instead of it will be the guy that maybe takes more chances or rush to the net or play chip and charge.
Yeah, Alex lookalike Munar actually beat John Isner tonight today. Yes, so that's
really
that's not good.
But would you guys say that the grass in Wimbledon today is slower than like 20 years ago?
Yeah, of course.
And the ball also. I think both the grass and the ball is slower.
Yeah, because 20 years ago, then if you stayed back, they would kill you. That's why it was so amazing in 92 when Agassi actually, he was the first guy to win Wimbledon from the back of the court. I don't know, but Rune, even Björn Borg, when he won so many times, he was not a natural volley player and played a lot from the baseline.
No, but he just have amazing flair and timing, which is also needed on the grass.
Yeah.
Good hair.
And good hair, yeah.
Yeah. Vad har vi på danskarna då? Vi har Clara Tauson, vi har Holger Rune.
Ja,
det är väl de. And Clara played good in the qualifying, didn't have any preparation on grass match-wise, so she went straight to the quali, won the first round against Baksitas, I think it was, and she had actually done quite well in the week before, so that was a good win. And then she lost in the final round of qualifying on Saturday, and she's two out for lucky loser, as I can see. So maybe she gets a opportunity tomorrow, but will not. And then she's playing doubles later on also.
Men Holger, kan man ju säga att han borde ju ha ett spel som passar för gräs, eller hur? Han är offensiv och går gärna fram på nät.
The forehand is not ideal for grass. He has a big preparation, and his grip is also, and the swing is coming from upwards to down. I mean, it's fine, but if the other guy plays fast on the grass or slice, he will struggle a little bit. But on the other hand, the backhand is amazing for grass, and also his serve is good, and he's moving.
He can serve and volley sometimes.
Actually, he can surprise a lot by doing a lot of
clay
serve
a lot with the kick serve.
But he also did it in Queens a lot, both against Diminawa and Musetti.
Yeah, because actually this is the first year that he has won a couple of matches on grass.
He plays George Lofhagen, who Marcus Eriksson beat in
Copenhagen in 21.
Underbara sidospår alltså.
Where Marcus Eriksson destroyed his racket after the first set. I was there. It was hilarious.
Marcus Eriksson, the biggest profile in Swedish tennis last
Did you see the match against August Holmgren in that tournament, Rune?
No, but I know what
you heard about the mark thing, right?
Yes. And I even saw the mark. Someone showed me. But I think it was not so much August and Marcus. It was more August's father that made a big scene, I think, as I heard.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was like 10 people in the crowd. They just went in on the court after the match and took some photos.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that is tennis. And of
course, var ett sidospår, grabbar.
Ja, verkligen. Ja, ska vi lämna Wimbledon eller ska vi prata lite Kasper Ruud också innan vi går över till...
Jag
tycker
att vi gör. Du kan ju fortsätta där på Ruud.
Ja, men Kasper Ruud, har ju sett honom apropå preparations on the grass. Kasper har ju preparerat mer med att gå på The Weeknds alla konserter överallt och spelat golf kanske mer. Men det räckte i alla fall till att vinna sin första match idag, men Kasper verkar inte ha höga förväntningar på sig själv och på Wimbledon. Och det kanske också, Rune, du som är coach, att ibland så kanske det kan vara bra att testa någonting annat och ta bort sina förväntningar och bara vara glad att vinna några matcher och inte sikta på att försvara sin sidning och gå till semifinal.
Bestämt. 100%. 100%.
So maybe this year will be Kasper's year at Wimbledon.
Yes, but again, his game is also not so suitable for grass. But
yeah,
could
exactly.
be. But I think both him and a lot of the other guys that prefers clay and grinding and playing with heavy top spin, they will struggle a little bit on the grass.
Yeah. Yeah. He beat Laurent Locolli today, and
big dancer.
Yeah. Have you seen Locolli's dance with Gaël Monfils at Philippe Chatrier Stadium?
No, I haven't seen it, but I have seen it on when he was off court for a tournament somewhere. Not dancing, but how he was moving.
Have you seen him kissing the reporter in live TV?
No, imagine that is that he's a guy that could do that. Of course,
that was a big scandal. He like forced the reporter to
kiss him.
Yeah, that was very weird.
Yeah, sounds pretty weird.
Yeah.
Ja, vad har vi mer från Wimbledon?
Jag menar, vi har så mycket mer. Vi har ju dubben såklart med André Göransson och vi har Rebecca Petersson som kommer gå in imorgon, tisdag.
Mm. Vad tror vi om Rebeccas chanser mot Sloane Stephens? Det är inte någon lätt lottning. Jag vet att Rebecca har ju slagit Sloane tidigare, men det är ju på ett helt annat underlag på hardcourt. Just på gräset, så det blir tufft.
Det blir det. Hon gör sin andra tävling i år på gräset. Tränade i Sverige väldigt länge på hardcourt innan hon åkte över till Holland där. Så att, jag vet inte hur mycket man ska hoppas på Rebecca här. Tuff, väldigt tuff första runda såklart. Så att, det är ju ingen grässpelare direkt Rebecca. Så att, ja, vi får hoppas på skräll då.
Ja, vi lämnar Wimbledon för nu. Vi ska åka dit på torsdag, Alex, du och jag. Så att det kommer att komma lite fler Wimbledon-avsnitt under veckan, va?
Verkligen, det blir mycket poddar. Vi kommer inte få filma där inne. Vi vill göra lite intervjuer, lite rörligt material, lite video. Men vi får bara spela in ljud. Så att, vi får se hur det blir faktiskt.
Ja. Ja, vi lämnar Wimbledon och går in på svenskarnas resultat här sista tiden.
Ja, ja.
Det brukar köra. Rune vara bra på det där. Ska vi börja med Kajsa? Det är Runes segment. Kajsa Henneman är ju tillbaka.
Ja, yeah, final. Final in 15. I will say that she's losing to Mini Udvardi in the final. So I'm not sure how happy and satisfied Kajsa is with this result, because she came into this tournament as a top seeded and favorite, and of course that's never easy, but I feel that Kajsa should be too good for 15 level and should not win easily, because tennis is never easy, but she should have a good chance to go all the way, and then losing to a girl 2005, it's that is not top, but it's good. It's yeah, I think
yeah, it might be that focus is just to be happy being back on court maybe and just playing after a couple of months off from tournaments.
Of course. Yeah. And now her big goal is to do well in Bostel in a couple of weeks time, so I think that for that it should be fine.
Yeah, and she actually plays in clusters this week at 25K.
Where she had very good experience, because she won the European championship there in 2019. Very high
altitude.
Right?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. How many meters?
It's a beautiful place.
Yes. So beautiful.
Yeah.
How high is it?
I think 1500.
Oh wow. Yeah, that's a lot.
Vad säger vi om Miriam Björklunds insats på gräset? Hon vann ju en tävling i Ilkley. Fantastiskt, vinna en 100 000 tävling. Sen fick hon en tuff lottning i kvalet. Rune?
Yeah, I think what I will say is the most remarkable thing with Miam is that every time she seems like, okay, now she's going to drop in ranking, she always makes a result that keeps her up around 110, 120. It's unbelievable. It's been like this for 2 years now. I think after COVID, where she came back and she made the final push up to 150 and et cetera, et cetera. Every time when she's on the way down a little bit, she was almost 200 now, she makes a result. So I think that, she is a very valid player to have the ranking and be in the place where she is. Maybe it will not be enough for top 100, but time will tell.
Should she have played more grass court tournaments instead of playing on clay the week before Ilkley?
It seems like that. Because playing on grass, she did very well. She beat it, five very good players, and one of them was Wimbledon junior champion. One of them was, I think, also Dalma Galfi was doing well on grass in her early ages. So yeah, very good.
Yeah, she must have been so disappointed to lose in the first round of the qualifying.
Yes, but also very tough that. To do well in the week before a Grand Slam, because there you cannot ask for a late first round. They just put you in as a TV and advisor. So it's normally not if you are a lower ranked player to have a good run before a Grand Slam, because then you have to play the day after. No rest, no break.
I really like her backhand on the grass. It's so flat. Amazing.
It is. It is.
And we had three boys, or three juniors, as we say, on the grass courts in this big junior 300 event. Four juniors it was. And they all lost.
Yes.
Why?
Albert lost in the quali. Match tie break, first round,
yeah.
And Kevin, Sebastian, Max lost in first round in singles. But Sebastian and Max, not together, but with separate partner, one round in double, and they're playing together tomorrow against each other.
Yeah, because I guess Swedish players never practice on grass, but who does?
But they did. I think they did. I think they had a long camp with Jonas Svensson on grass.
Yeah, they had in Bosta.
Exactly. So yeah, I think that they have, and I will say that, okay, it's always tough to come on the first round, but at least Sebastian, Albert, and Max should have a game that is suitable for grass, where they can make results. But again, as I said, it is not so easy to play on the highest level on juniors, even that you are very high ranked and one of the best in your own country.
Were those matches played on the same venue as the Wimbledon qualifying, Roehampton?
Yes. The courts are not so good there.
Nej, det har man hört, att det är som en stor äng som man bara har målat en massa linjer på.
Ja, men det jag skulle säga, det är drömmen för tennisälskare som oss att åka dit.
Ja, det måste se vackert ut.
Jag har bara varit där på när Leo Borg spelade, när han fick WC till kvalet i junior. Det här var väl ett par år sedan, va? Men det var ta mig fan magiskt att vara där.
Mm. Have you been there, Rune?
Yes, I've been.
What do you think, Rune, about Roehampton?
No, I think it's a good place for tennis, because it's where they have the headquarter of LTA, so they have plenty of facilities, both gym and indoor courts and outdoor hard court, and then they have the big grass field where they can do many things. So I think and they have the university where you can stay right next to. So it's a good place for tennis. But of course, after first been playing so many matches in the quali for the men's and the women's, and then go to the juniors, the courts are not so good at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But and also Albert has to play qualifying in Roehampton again this weekend, so he will really know the courts there.
Ja, det blir mycket intressant i Wimbledon med juniorerna.
Hoppas att vi får se lite där, Alex, när vi är nere. De borde ju komma igång där just de här dagarna när vi är där nere mellan torsdag och söndag.
Ja, men vi borde nog kunna hinna se kvalet i alla fall.
But that's in Roehampton, you have to remember.
That's in Roehampton, yeah. But that starts Sunday or Saturday, yes. Even.
I think, yeah, Saturday, it must be, yeah.
How far away from Wimbledon is that?
That's a bit.
Half an hour?
Especially in with traffic in London. And traffic in Wimbledon area can be bad.
We just take an Uber, Patrick.
Yes.
But it's even worse. It's stuck in the traffic. Better to take a train.
Probably.
What else do we have to report?
We have a certain player making a comeback.
That's true. That's very big headlines, at least in my country.
And I want to hear now what you think about that, Rune.
I'm so surprised. I'm actually, I don't know, my first comment to the people that that I talked about was that she must need more money, because for me it makes no sense. I mean, she was number one in the world, she won the slam, she has made a great career for herself and for her family, her and her father and mother also and brother has sacrificed so much, and they must have and I thought that they had made enough for the rest of the life, which also could be true. I don't know the personal financials of them, of course. But
where does she live nowadays?
She lives in USA. I think they're living in there. And
it's actually it's Bosniaki who makes her comeback. I don't know if you said it, but I will say it now.
No.
But
it is a surprise. I think it's a surprise for everybody, because. Yeah. As I see it, she can, I mean, of course, the publicity, and I think it was also the Vogue magazine where she promoted it, which means that maybe it's not so much about the sport, but more about herself and her branding. But I think she, for the sport, she has everything to lose and very little to win.
I was going to say that, because I think it's quite silly that she's making a comeback. You don't see, like, I'm a very big football fan. You don't see Zinedine Zidane or Ronaldinho making a comeback, because they have absolutely nothing to win. Let's say that Wozniacki gets 5 wild cards and she will get bageled or whatever. I mean, people will remember her for that rather than her great career.
Exactly. And you can just see how tough it was for Kim Clijsters when she tried to come back.
Yeah.
And even also for Venus now, she's playing against Vitolina. I don't know if the match is done. But
she
just think that it's going to be very difficult for her to make a deep impact on the WTA tour again.
Because she was very offensive in her quotes about, I mean, she said that she has a big chance to win the US Open and other big tournaments. That is actually like a statement also on the WTA tour being bad.
A little bit, but I think it's not. I think that I mean, of course, she has been commentating for Eurosport a lot, and so she knows how the game is. So I think she's aware how the level is, but maybe she's not fully aware where she is herself, because there's big difference, as everybody know, between practicing and matches.
For sure. Yeah. I want to see a match between Clara Towson and Wozniacki in a random tournament, and Clara Towson bageling her.
There is at least a chance that she will win. I will put my money on her, at least for now.
For sure. Yeah. What do you think, Rogan, about
the comeback?
Yeah.
Well, I think I like those comebacks, you know, to have a chance to see those players once again, and the hype that it's around it. So yeah, I'm positive. I would say I think it's more fun with a comeback than to not have it.
But if you were in Wozniacki's place, Patrick, would you also make a comeback after giving birth to 2 kids and then going out again on the tour?
Yeah, I guess she stopped tennis way too young. She was 20 something when she quit, wasn't she?
Yeah, 28.
I think. Yeah, 20, so I think she feels that there is some
unfinished business here. So I think the difference between her and the other ones we mentioned, I mean, Venus Williams is 40-something, Kim Clijsters, she was at her high 30s. So actually, Carolina is much younger, which makes it more interesting. And just to, I mean, we can be a little bit more positive because she still is 32, or what is it? What is she?
Yeah, she turned to 33 this year. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we'll be very. Yeah, yeah. I like it.
So you will tune in Montreal to watch her first round.
Of course. It will be so hyped that I will do that, and that depends also. I mean, no, it actually doesn't depend on who she's gonna play. Whoever she's gonna play, I will try to watch. The problem is that you can't see women's tennis anywhere because it's broadcast by some, I don't know.
Yeah, but you can find an obscure.
It's not like tennis TV or the ATP Tour. You can see it everywhere.
You can just Google legal stream. You can guess. Find it. But I want to bring up one more topic before we end this episode. The Holger Rune coach gate. What's up there? I think Lars is making a comeback now, right? And is Patrick gone now, or?
I don't know if Patrick is gone. I don't think he's gone fully, but he's not there now. I think it's only Lars and Lapo and Annika and Mike in the box for Wimbledon.
Yeah, I heard some rumors that Lars and, I don't know if you know this, but that Lars and Patrick is not the best cooperation. I mean, they don't like each other that much. That's what I heard. I don't know.
But I think also if you know Lars and just know Patrick a little bit or see how Patrick is, you can see that they have very different personalities.
For sure. Patrick Rogan actually met Patrick Muratoglu in Stockholm Open.
Yeah, actually we tried to make an interview with him, but he was so suspicious. He didn't trust us. So yeah.
That's a little bit weird because normally he's a man that likes to express himself to any media and like to go out and be a lot in appearance in any way and anywhere he goes.
Yeah, he got scared when he saw us.
Of course.
And he was like, I must know what you're gonna ask. So he wanted the questions before. Yeah.
But then you should have told you that's not how we do media in Scandinavia.
Maybe you do that in the French way.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. Ja, vad säger du, Patrik? Ska vi runda av, eller?
Ja, det kan vi göra. Vi kan faktiskt vi kan lyfta fram också att både Fanny Östlund och Kajsa Rinaldo Persson faktiskt hade några väldigt bra segrar under veckan, för att sen, de slog några högre rankade för att sen förlora sina kvartsfinaler mot lägre rankade. Så kan det vara i tennis ibland.
Ja.
Men vi måste ju slå ett slag för Fannys tävlingsplanering i år, som har varit i Indien, Sydafrika och Dominikanska republiken. Och hon har verkligen globetrottat i år och plockar ju bra poäng också där hon åker och spelar väldigt bra i dubbel.
Verkligen.
And now she's in Punta Cana in Dominican Republic.
Yeah, she's gonna be there, I think, for 3 weeks or something.
Yes. I heard it's very expensive there, but it should be very nice. It's Villas Academy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's the dollar makes it expensive there for us.
Yeah, yes. For you
but
guys.
For you, Rune, it's very cheap to come to Sweden now. You're a king in Sweden with your krona.
Not only king in Denmark.
I can buy you kebab anywhere, anytime you want.
Maybe I had my greatest kebab in my life yesterday in Malmö. Me and the winner of betting, Jacqueline Kabayawad. It was sick. If you're in Malmö, you have to go there. Falafel. It's actually called Falafel Baghdad, but they have great kebab.
Okay. I will try it next time.
It looks pretty obscure from the outside, but it's really good.
It's the inside that counts. Det är sen gammalt.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jag säger så här, vi har gärna med dig nästa vecka inför Båsta, Rune. Ett avsnitt.
100%.
Then we can talk about the wild cards.
Yes.
Yeah, we should talk through the entry list, of course.
Will you guys go to Båsta, both the men's and the women's week?
We will be there actually for
3 days.
Yeah, 3 days. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So is the ladies' final on the Sunday or on the Saturday? Yes.
It must be one of them, yeah.
Yeah. So actually we're going to see, hopefully, three Swedish qualifiers with Max Dahlin, Dragos and Carl Friberg.
Carl Friberg, yeah.
Yeah.
But we can actually hope that Luca Poole won't take his wild card, because actually he withdrew from the Wimbledon qualies.
It's true.
Give it to Dragos instead, and then someone else can take the qualifying wild card.
Who do you think will get the wild card then if Dragos gets the main draw?
Yeah, Carl Friberg.
Yeah, of course. Oh, forgot about him. He played today. Against the Australian Nick Kyrgios, Santillan, but we'll talk about that.
Almost, not as good, but also a little, also crazy the same way. But like Nick, a very very nice guy, but
really
full crazy.
That's what we like. Of course, Friberg should get it. It was a pleasure to have you today, Rune.
And it was a pleasure to be here and a pleasure to talk tennis. And thanks for having me.
Thanks for being a part of it. It was really nice to have you.
We all love having a chat about tennis and it's more to come.
Yeah.
Lovely, guys. Time to go to bed.
It is. Och vi är tillbaka under veckan från Wimbledon, Patrik.
Det är vi absolut, och så följer vi upp sen med ett specialavsnitt om Båsta med Rune också.
King Rune, det gör vi. Det är vi, hej så länge. Ciao!
Ciao! Kom på del av vår värld, kom se med våra ögon och känn det som vi känner och hör med våra öron. Rik på mot och framgång, ibland soft, ibland knas, men vi älskar ändå vårt liv i våra grannskap. Jag känner fett med saken när jag står vid mitt fönster. Dag in, dag ut, följer alltid samma mönster. Nazistbana. Och de diskriminerar, fast den man är lugn kan man bli trakasserad. Så jag har hat för Aina, jag har hat för farbror blå, hat för de behandlar folk och för hatet som de sår. Hat för pengarna, för att de styr allt runt omkring. Hat för att vissa har allt och andra ingenting. Men jag älskar min ort och jag älskar min port, även om den gjort att vissa växer upp allt för fort. Älskar atmosfären, ljuden och lukterna, olika karaktär, från nykteristerna till suttarna. Jag hör, ser, känner och älskar varenda bit. Ingen miljonär, men tycker mitt liv var drit. Rik på mot och framgång, ibland soft, ibland knas, men jag älskar ändå mitt liv i mitt grannskap. Kom på del av vår värld, kom se med våra ögon och känn det som vi känner och hör med våra öron. Rik på mot och framgång, ibland soft, ibland knas, men vi älskar ändå vårt liv i våra grannskap. Kom på del av vår värld, kom se med våra ögon och känn det som vi känner och hör med våra öron. Rik på mot och framgång, ibland soft, ibland knas, men vi älskar ändå vårt liv i våra grannskap.